time now for your letters. Many of you wrote in about our coverage of the Pope's trip to Turkey and to correct this statement made by one of our guests.
Temple University professor Mahmoud Ayoub was talking about a speech the Pope made earlier this year that offended many Muslims when Ayoub said this.
It would be difficult to apologize as such, particularly when, at least in official circumstances, the Pope is infallible.
As many of you pointed out, the doctrine of papal infallibility doesn't apply to everything the Pope does or says, just to important doctrinal statements. For some clarification, we called Father Thomas Rees. He's senior fellow at Georgetown University's Woodstock Theological Center, and he said in this case the doctrine would not preclude an apology.
John Paul II apologized a number of times for things that were done by popes or by the church, for the Crusades, for the persecution and discrimination against Jews. You know, every time the Pope says Mass, he starts with a confession of his sinfulness.
We also received many letters about our segment with Chef Christopher Kimball. He gave us tips for cooking Thanksgiving dinner more quickly, such as removing the turkey's backbone and flattening the bird with a mallet.
All right, here we go.
And don't beat, go ahead, let it have it.
Just beat the like, up here
this?
Yeah,
okay. Go for it.
Anne Neville of Layton, Utah writes, thank you so much for your time-saving tips. We had put a 20-pound turkey in the oven at 11 a.m. At 1, we realized the oven wasn't on, and 20 people were coming at 4 to eat. Amidst the initial panic, I remembered Steve Inskeep thoroughly enjoying pounding the breast of a butterflied turkey.
So Anne Neville informs us she tried the technique, and she says that by the time her guests arrived, the bird was moist, juicy, and ready to eat.
Some listeners were less appreciative of our report on the decline of tobacco barns in Kentucky.
Jerry Rush of Cincinnati, Ohio writes, I was appalled and disappointed to hear Noah Adams waxing nostalgic about the demise of the tobacco barns. I would have been no less surprised to hear warm remembrances of slave life in antebellum plantations.
Finally, a story that struck an unexpectedly emotional chord with some listeners.
Ron Heil of Cleveland, Tennessee, says his ears perked right up when he heard our story about the soundtrack to the classic TV special, A Charlie Brown Christmas.
That was a holiday staple around our home when our kids were kids. Wouldn't you know it? The oldest son of my oldest son came out a spitting image of Charlie. The round head, the big ears, and everything. Now, I'm not a dancer by anyone's imagination, but I couldn't help bopping around my shop as I was sanding some oak crown mold. Without any warning, tears filled my eyes. Thanks for the memory, NPR.
And thank you, Ron Hall, for sharing it with us. And if anyone else wants to share a memory or a comment, you can go to npr.org and click Contact Us.